chapter 23, the Brahmana's wives blessed, text 7. Gascharayantava vidura odanam. Ramachito volasato bhukshito. Tayo dvija odanam atino yadi. Chatachavo yachata dharma vittama. Ga, they're cows. Chayanto, grazing. Avidure, not far away. Odanam, food. Rama Achyuto, Lord Rama and Lord Achyuta. From you. Lashata, are desiring. Bubukshito, being hungry. Tayo, for them. Dvija, O Brahmanas. Odanam, food. Artino, begging. Yadi, if. Shraddha, any faith. Cha, and va, on your part. Yach chata, please give. Dharma vittama, O best knowers of the principles of religion. Translation. Lord Rama and Lord Achyuta are tending their cows not far from here. They are hungry and want you to give them some of your food. Therefore, O Brahmanas, O best of the knowers of religion, if you have faith, please give some food to them. Purport. The cowherd boys doubted the generosity of the Brahmanas, and thus they used the word bhubukshito, meaning that Krishna and Balaram were hungry. The boys expected the Brahmanas to know the Vedic injunction, annasya chuditam patram. Anyone who is hungry is a fit candidate for receiving food in charity. But if the Brahmanas would not recognize the authority of Krishna and Balaram, their title, Dvija, would be taken to mean merely born from two parents, Dvi from two, Ja born, rather than twice born. When the Brahmanas did not respond to the cowherd boy's initial request, the boys addressed the Brahmanas with a slight trace of sarcasm as Dharma Vittama. O best of the knowers of religion. Om Gyana Chimadandasya Gyananjana Shlokaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tazmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunandana Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Guru Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. We are speaking past few days about the different types of cowherd boys. There's endless variety in the spiritual world because Krishna knows how to enjoy. He's a supreme enjoyer. He knows that variety is the mother of enjoyment. So the spiritual world is full of endless variety, all for Krishna's pleasure. All the varieties are one in that they're all for Krishna's pleasure. Not that everything is the same. So this is a real understanding of Advaita Gyan, the knowledge of oneness or non-duality, that in the spiritual world there's endless variety and individuality, but it's all for one and one for all. All for Krishna and Krishna's for everyone. That is oneness. But in our material existence, of course, consciously or unconsciously, we want to occupy the post of Krishna. And this is a hard factor reality for us to accept because we think we're kind of innocent. We've made a few mistakes, you know. We've been bewildered a few times. But we think that in our own way we're a bit expert, resourceful, and we're pretty much doing a good job in life. If we actually understood the extent of our catastrophe, our lamentation would be endless. That's why you here in the songs of great acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, his lamentation, also in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How I wasted my life. How did I avoid Krishna? What is the point? Sinful means not just violating the four regular principles. Following the four regular principles makes you a human being. In of itself, it doesn't make you a Krishna conscious person. It brings you to the human platform. And then, of course, when you take initiation vows, you promise to follow those rules. So those rules take on special spiritual significance because it's a personal promise that you'll follow them, whether you feel like it or not. Western so-called honor, as we often explain, is I made a promise, but that was last year. Now I feel differently. Everyone can understand that, right? Everyone nods their head. Like that, it's the way it is. So, if we understood the depths of our tragedy, trying to imitate Krishna, trying to be the Purusha, the enjoyer, when actually we're Prakriti, and it is impossible for us to be the enjoyer. A man may try to dress like a woman and act like a woman, and vice versa. But everyone knows, still, there's a difference. Similarly, no matter how hard we try, we cannot occupy the post of enjoyer. If we would just accept that, life would be peaceful. But no, we've got to try this way, that way. We whine and whimper before Krishna. Oh, let's compromise. Or like the ritualistic brahmanas here, they're trying to be the enjoyer by performing Vedic rituals for going to the heavenly planets. Somehow or other we try, or we can embrace Mayavad philosophy. We are all one. There's no difference in the ultimate. We just imagine there's differences in individuality. So Krishna introduces you to his pastimes, which are full of endless variety. But all the variety, as we said, is meant 100% for Krishna's pleasure. We discussed a little bit about the four groups of cowherd boys. There are the well-wisher cowherd boys. Generally, they're a little older than Krishna, and they have some parental feelings mixed in, as Balaram would indicate, because Balaram's a little older than Krishna. He would say to his friends, Krishna should not go to the pastures today. It's his birthday, and I, along with Mother Yashoda, wish to bathe him, so he should not go. He's acting as the well-wisher of Krishna. And we spoke about how the well-wisher friends, they are always eager to protect Krishna, so much so that when they saw a cloud on top of Govardhan Hill, his well-wishers mistook that cloud for Arishtashura, the bull demon, and they rallied, grabbing swords, and Balaram picked up his plow, and they were quite agitated until someone explained, another cowherd boy explained, actually, it's not Arishtasura, it's just a cloud. Then they calmed down. Then there are the groups of friends called Sukkas, plain friends, plain, not the plain and ordinary, but just friends. They are younger than Krishna, and they render service. They have some servitorship mixed in within the province of the Sakya Prem, the friendship love. After Krishna kills a demon, they want to massage his legs and arms, and they want to help him rest and do things like that. When they go to Krishna's house in the morning and Mother Yashoda is dressing Krishna, the friend will be waiting at the door and Mother Yashoda will call out to the friend, why are you just standing at the door? Why don't you come in and do something? And so the friend will come in and help to dress Krishna, putting on Krishna's ankle bells. He's got to bow down and put on Krishna's ankle bells. Meanwhile, Krishna is striking him with his flute. And Mother Yashoda is telling Krishna, Krishna, don't treat your friends like this. Don't. So then there's another group of cowherd boys who are Priyanarma. They're Priya. They're dear to Krishna in terms of being confidential. They're generally of the same age as Krishna. And the Priya Sakas. Yes, Priya Sakas. And they joke with Krishna. They don't have any feelings of mixed in of parental or servitorship, just pure friendship on an equal level. Like Madhu Mangal, the famous Brahmana amongst the cowherd boys. He will announce to Krishna that, here's the deal, Krishna. If you give me more ladus, I will give blessings to you so that you'll be with your friend Srimati Radharani. Just give me more ladus and I give the blessings. So Krishna gives him more ladus and then he gives his blessing. So he's feeling equal, on the equal level to Krishna through friendship. And then there are the most intimate group of cowherd boys, Subal. We'll speak about them tomorrow. We look at the variegatedness in this verse. The cowherd boys are referring to the beautiful scene in Vrindavan. Gashcharayantava vidura odinam Ramachitovo lashato babukshito. Lord Rama and Lord Achyuta are tending their cows nearby. They're injecting into the Brahmana's ritualistic arena such pure transcendence. They're saying the words, Rama and Achyuta. And when they first came, you remember, they said, hey, Bhumi Deva, Shinuta, please listen to us, O earthly gods, O Brahmanas. Krishnasya Deshakarina and Rama Choditan. We cowherd boys are here to execute the order of Krishna, and we've been sent by Balaram. So in this way, they injected the holy names into the atmosphere. And again, they're injecting a vision of a scene. Lord Rama and Lord Achyuta are nearby, tending their cows. Here is a service opportunity. A real devotee loves a service opportunity. So the cowherd boys are providing that opportunity, pointing it out. They're nearby. They're tending their cows. Now notice, they call Lord Krishna Achyuta. That's to keep you or anyone from thinking that Krishna has fallen to hunger. He's fallen victim of hunger. When Krishna, of course, is self-satisfied. Everything is his energy. So the cowherd boys are making sure everyone understands. This is Achyuta. He's infallible. He never falls under the control of anything. Yet, he's hungry. This is actually their Sankirtan line, or their line for engaging someone in devotional service. Yeah. Achyuta and Rama are hungry. This is exaggeration that is allowed for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. You know the story how Srila Prabhupada would describe that during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his disciples would go ask for donations by saying that our Guru Maharaj is in the forest living on just tulsi leaves and water. Will you please give a donation? actual proper comment. This kind of embellishment is allowed because the whole purpose is to arouse an appetite to serve Krishna. So similarly, the cowherd boys are doing that. They're hungry, and they would like you to give them some of your food. Now they're being very generous here in their proposal. Your food, some of your food, when actually everything belongs to Krishna. But they're taking advantage of the conventional understanding that these ritualistic brahmanas had in order to engage them in Krishna's service. All right, you're thinking it's your food. We won't get into that right now. Just give some of your food to Krishna. The service opportunity is there for you to perfect your life. And then they say, Dharma Vittama. We spoke about this yesterday. Because they're getting a little bit sarcastic because they notice the silence, the kind of lack of response they can pick up. Because also Krishna had warned them, these brahmanas, they're not devotees. They're so caught up in trying to go to the heavenly planets and doing yajnas and rituals for that purpose, they actually can't respond to a request to engage in my service. So the cowherd boys were tipped off by Krishna, and by their own vision, they could intuit the situation. So they began, as young boys will, to get a little slightly sarcastic. Oh, best of the knowers of religion. Is that really so? In other words, if you brahmanas don't understand that the goal of religion is to engage in devotional service, then what's the use of you? So they're poking the brahmanas a bit. And they say, Shraddha, chayo yachata dharma vittama, Shraddha. Do you have any faith? Now, Shraddha is not exactly faith completely the way the word is in English. Faith is like a belief. Shraddha means actually respect or appreciation. That's a more kind of dynamic understanding of faith, that I respect and appreciate you enough that there's some heartfelt feeling and heartfelt condition, heartfelt conviction. Srila Prabhupada spoke about this in Melbourne. He explained that, for example, we have the Prabhupada book marathon. We have Gita Jayanti. So Srila Prabhupada explained that if someone just takes one of his books in their hand and just appreciates, nice. Looks authentic. Beautiful cover. But not today. Not today. Don't have any money that I want to give to you. So that is Shraddha. That's the tip of the iceberg. That gets the foot in the door. And so Srila Prabhupada explained, that person, just by that attitude of respect and appreciation towards the Bhagavad Gita, even though the person doesn't buy it, that person gets a human form of life in his next birth. So we actually don't know the full extent of what we're doing in terms of engaging people in Krishna's service as Krishna's humble servants. We don't know the full extent. We can't conceive of it. The cowherd boys are saying, if you have any Shraddha, if you have any appreciation, any respect for Lord Rama and Lord Achyuta, please get some food to them. So the brahmanas might respond that, well, technically, we can't give food at this stage of the yajna, especially since we haven't eaten yet. The brahmanas are supposed to eat first, and then the food is distributed. So the cowherd boys, they are confident because they have Krishna's association. By Krishna's association, they know what to say. They can see what to do. And so they began, they gave the brahmanas some pointers about yajnas. That actually, we're at a point of the yajna where you can give food. We know these things, these petty things that you all are, that you brahmanas are making a big deal about and using as an impediment for not serving Krishna. We know the technicalities of the yajnas. You can imagine what the Brahmins were thinking. These young little boys are instructing them how the yajna should go on. But because Krishna has inspired his associates, they're perfectly in relation with Krishna. They were in a position to be didactic, to be educational to the Brahmanas. You can do it right now. This is a proper point in the yajna. Don't worry, you're not spoiling your yajna. You'll go to the heavenly planets, whatever you want. Now is the time when you can give food. This pastime illustrates that what is the use of any kind of position without service to Krishna? A Vaishnava devotee of the Lord just wants some service, humble service. Krishna, if you make me a big leader, okay. But actually, just give me some service to you, whether it's big or small. A Vaishnava doesn't aspire, actually, for position. He aspires for service. If the service involves position, the Vaishnava considers, well, if that position can be of any value for service to Krishna and service to the Vaishnava, and without a commotion, it comes my way, I'll accept. Otherwise, there's so many little services I can do for Krishna and go back to Godhead. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say, only by having a big position can I be understood. No verse like that in Bhagavad Gita. No, Krishna says, bhakti mam abhijanati. Only by devotion can I be understood. And that devotion can even manifest in situations which look, from the material point of view, to be a failure. Just like Jatayu in Ram Leela. He failed from the material point of view. He could not stop Ravana from kidnapping Sita. And he was killed in the process of fighting off Ravana. Yet Lord Ramachandra personally performed his funeral ceremony. This body, this life will go, whether today or tomorrow. So therefore, the Shastra urges us to be very diligent about engaging everything we have in Krishna's service. The important point is that we are fully engaged in Krishna's service. All our senses are engaged in Krishna's service. These brahmanas have missed the point. They think they're a big deal. They're smarter brahmanas, caste brahmanas. They're looking down upon the cowherd boys. And Krishna warned them, they'll even look down on me because they think I'm just the son of a Vaishya. They don't understand my transcendental reality, omnipotent and supreme. You can see in the first canto the situation the Pandavas had to deal with Ashwatthama, who did the inconceivably heinous act of killing the five little babes of the Pandavas in their sleep, thinking that would please his master, Duryodhana, who was dying with a broken pelvis because Krishna told Bhima the secret of how to get to Duryodhana. So Ashwatthama is so degraded, but yet he's the son of Dronacharya, an exalted Brahmana who taught military science to the Pandavas. Yet his son became such a dacoit, such a criminal, hooligan, and to do such a thing and think it's going to please please Duryodhana, kill five sleeping babes, behead them, and bring their heads on a plate to his master, thinking, you have done a great thing. It's horrible. And when Arjuna found out, Arjuna right then and there spoke to his wife, Draupadi, that I will pursue him. I will behead him with my arrows. And then I'll bring that head back, and you can stand on his head and take your bath. This is Kshatriya talk. So, Arjuna pursued Ashwatthama, and Ashwatthama was so reckless, he's mad, that he released a Brahmastra, even though he couldn't control the Brahmastra. He didn't know how to relinquish it. He's so reckless. Just anything to get his way. He's a typical Kali Yuga type person who just will do anything to accomplish his purposes. So Arjuna turned to Krishna. What is this? This huge illumination spreading everywhere. This glaring light. I've never seen anything like that before. But notice that in the first canto, first Arjuna presents prayers to Krishna, and then he asks, what is this? And that way Arjuna is showing us how to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with any kind of request we have. First you offer suitable prayers, and then, what is this? And Krishna explained that Ashwatthama has done this, and the only way you can deal with the situation is to counteract it with your own nuclear weapon, your own Brahmastra. So Arjuna did that. Canceled out Ashwatthama's Brahmastra, and then Arjuna caught up with Ashwatthama and tied him with ropes, brought him back to the Pandavas. There was Yudhisthira, there was Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva, there was Krishna, and there was Draupadi. So Arjuna is ready to kill him. Because he's not killing a brahmana. He's killing someone who's pretending to have the high birth, but actually is a complete hooligan. But Draupadi steps in with her mildness, her gentle lady nature. Even in Krishna Leela, you can see characteristics that are there from that we can observe. In ordinary existence, but in Krishna Lila, they're there in perfection. So Draupadi is showing female mildness and gentleness, but perfectly in relation to Krishna. So she says, this Ashwatthama, he's the son of our teacher. Dronacharya has taught all of you boys military science. We have to honor the son of our teacher, especially our teachers of Brahmana, and from the external point of view, Ashwatthama is a Brahmana. This is high-class culture, far beyond what we can understand today. Just think. The ladies can think you have five sleeping babies, and then someone comes and beheads them. And when the person's apprehended, you say, oh, but actually, looking at the person's family background, the person comes from a Brahmana father, so let us be careful in dealing with them. This is how high class and self-controlled Draupadi is. She actually meant what she's saying. Such restraint. But the Shastra points out she's still being sentimental. Sentimentality in pure devotion. Still it was sentimentality. And that sentimentality was meant to be overruled by the discrimination of the husbands. The husbands were real men. They weren't just dancing dogs of Kali Yuga who can't control their senses and but want to strut around, I'm a man. They were real men. And so they were meant to override Draupadi. Although Draupadi was right from her angle, spare him, spare him. He's the son of your teacher. We don't want to violate Vedic injunctions. But actually, she's referring to just custom and tradition. Because the Shastra says, kill him. He's an aggressor. He's anyone who attacks your family members, tries to burn down your house, so on and so forth. These are aggressors. and according to Shastra, they can be terminated. So Draupadi is speaking from custom and tradition, which for the lady class can be a very powerful thing. Social customs, traditions, social dealings, generally speaking. Ladies are very attracted to those kind of things. Social events, social customs. Social events means social traditions and social customs. So Draupadi was speaking from that platform, and she was right from that point of view. And she wanted to preserve the Vedic traditions, preserve the honor to Brahmanas. But that's her mild-manneredness, her ladylike expression. And that, the Shastra points out that ladylike mildness and soft-heartedness should be contained within a situation of discrimination by the man. That, okay, we may have these feelings, and there may be these protocols of custom and tradition, but the bottom line is this. That's supposed to be the role of a real man in a real human society. Because the man, due to controlling his mind and senses, can discriminate like that. I see what you mean. I can feel what you mean by your sentiments, but this is the bottom line. What to do in this situation? Draupadi had spoken so eloquently. Another thing, it's not simply just Vedic customs and tradition. I've suffered so much with the slaughter of my five boys. I don't want Kripi, the mother of Ashwatthama, to suffer like I'm suffering. This is real soft-heartedness. No revenge at all. Just let's stop the suffering right here. Let's draw the line right here. Enough is enough. Killing Ashwatthama is not going to relieve my heart. And it's going to put another woman into distress. So why should we just increase the distress? What I have to bear is enough. It's very beautiful, Draupadi's statement. And Nectar Devotion explains that actually Draupadi is in Sakyaras with Krishna. She's friendly. So Krishna had already ordered Arjuna, kill him. But now Draupadi makes her eloquent address. What is to be done? Actually, she was so eloquent and so soft-hearted and mild in her presentation that Krishna, Yudhisthira, Nakul, Sahadeva, and Arjuna, I guess that's the way it should be. Draupadi has spoken so nicely. All the Pandavas were affected. Except Bhima. Bhima wanted him terminated. So it looked like a split decision. Krishna, he seemed to be affected, but of course, Krishna is playing his Leela. So then, Krishna wants to see what Arjuna will do in this situation. Krishna likes to examine his devotees to see how they handle situations. And he knows that his pure devotees, they'll always come through. So he wanted to see how Arjuna would handle this challenge. Actually, Krishna wanted Arjuna to demonstrate his Krishna-conscious intelligence so that all could see. Krishna wants to glorify his devotee. The devotee simply wants to glorify Krishna, and Krishna simply wants to glorify his devotee. So he allowed that situation to happen so Arjuna's intelligence would be glorified. So Krishna gave Arjuna the hint. There's a way to kill someone without killing them, but you're still killing them. Just by that hint, Arjuna was so sharp, he figured it out. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, from one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So Arjuna dishonored Ashwatthama, cutting his top knot with the jewel on it, just driving him out from his home. He had to wander like a vagabond. This was dishonor that's worse than death, but he's still alive. So in this way, Krishna inspired how to handle a situation. preserving traditions to some extent, honoring Draupadi's female feelings, and at the same time, killing Ashvatthama without killing him. This caste Brahmana, smarta Brahmana idea, causes so much havoc. You can see that today. Srila Prabhupada would comment that basically the glory of Indian culture and Indian civilization has been destroyed by caste Brahmanas. People are, they can't accept this. Look at you. Look at your behavior. And you call yourself a Brahmana and I'm supposed to respect you because you have a thread around you worth a few paisa. The cowherd boys, they have this attitude, but they're very respectful. They're respecting the external caste, but they don't accept that there's any internal value. That's why they're starting to get sarcastic, observing the silence. What is our identity? These cowherd boys are telling these Brahmanas, you actually don't know what your identity is. You're supposed to be the servant of the servant. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Prachadamami Kam Sharanam. Abandon all conceptions of what you think you are. You're this, you're that, whatever. And just do what I say, accept my program. Lord Chaitanya spoke the same thing. How do we abandon all conceptions of what we think we are and just do what Krishna said, Lord Chaitanya said? Yare deko tareko Krishna upadesh, ama agya guru hoye tarayadesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach them the science of Krishna. Never mind what you think you are or what you think you aren't. That's surrendering to Krishna. That's sarva dharma prachita for the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna and Bhagavad Gita taught, Dehi no sminyata dehe komaram yuvaramja. You're not the body. The body's changing throughout the phases of life. You're not the body. You are spirit soul. Lord Chaitanya taught the same thing by saying, I'm not a Brahmana. I'm not a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I'm not any of the ashramas. What am I? Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Dasa. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And Krishna's the maintainer of the gopis. Krishna's serving the gopis. In other words, I'm serving. My service is to the servant of Krishna, who's also serving his pure devotees. So that's Lord Chaitanya's way of saying, we're not the body. He's resolving all the identity crises. He's saying that, okay, that Vedic social system of ashrama and varna, it has some use. It's a material system, but the point is, it's Krishna's material system. Therefore, it's the best material system. I was discussing with Tirtharaj how political philosophers say that they said up until maybe recently, there hasn't been any new political ideology in the world since the time of Adam Smith and capitalism and Karl Marx, communism. When is a new ideology going to come? But now people are noting that there is a new ideology that's available. It's called Leninist capitalism, as they do in China. One-party political rule, tight political control at the same time. If you want to make money, go ahead. But whoever makes the money, fine. They clearly separate money from politics. So this is the Russians, they're taking note. We failed with our Marxist communism, but maybe here's a way. So they're studying the Chinese system. They're sending their leaders. Putin's has a party, United Russia, and they basically want to become like the Communist Party is in China. So they're sending their leaders to China to dialogue, and you know, you guys may have something here, you know. This could be the way, you know, one political party with a tight political grip, at the same time encourage the Vaishyas, let them do their thing, as long as they don't talk about democracy and voting, all that American stuff. What does it matter anyway, you know? We know that they're just cheating in America. You know, they think they have a vote. The people think they have a vote. They don't have a clue what's going on in their own country. So, that could be a prominent political ideology. I was explaining to Tir Drudge how a former prime minister of New Zealand, just died a couple of years ago, told me, you know, this is what's going on in the world, amongst the world leaders. Because I was asking him some questions, and he kind of said to me, what's a Hare Krishna like you asking me questions like this? And he began to expound for 2 hours. And he said, the leaders of the world, they want everything like China. No middle class to gum up the works and get in the way. Talk about freedom and this and that and the other. No university graduates to tell you what to do. Either you're a controller or you're the control. Either you're a master or you're a peon. That's it. You know, we want the Chinese system. Get the politics out of the realm of the masses. Let the masses just work. Watch unlimited television stations and unlimited sports. Leave it at that. So, without our being able to provide real brahmanas, what is the future of the world? They try this way, they try that way. Okay, we'll try capitalism. All right, we'll try communism. Oh, we'll try, you know, Leninistic capitalism, hybrid. On and on and on they go, concocting, as if there can be peace and prosperity in human society without genuine knowledge. And that's the job of the brahmana, to give genuine knowledge. So this whole idea that you can be a brahmana by birth has caused havoc. Therefore, people don't take brahmanism seriously, casteism. They think it's just so degraded. They don't understand that there is some material probability to the fact that if you're a brahmana, for example, if you conceive children properly and live a brahmana lifestyle, there's a high probability you'll give birth to brahmana children. It's not absolute because it's the material world, but there's a high probability. But because the brahmanas are so degraded, and their children come out degraded, people just look and say, what's the use of this system? So now you have a world where there's no genuine head on the social body. So the cowherd boys here are showing you that even we're in Krishna Lila, we have to point these things out for the benefit of everyone, that fake brahmanas cause problems. Now actually, the main point of this Lila is not to expose the fake brahmanas. That's just a side effect. The main point of the Lila is to bless the wives of the brahmanas. That's Krishna's main plan, to reciprocate with his devotees. In the previous chapter, he reciprocated with the gopis who were worshiping the goddess Katyayani. He reciprocated with the trees, touching the trees, their fruits, their limbs, and glorifying them, the trees of Braj. He reciprocated with the cows by letting the cows drink the water of the Yamuna. And now it's time to reciprocate with the wives of the brahmanas. So that is Krishna's main program, reciprocation with the devotees. But in doing so, he illuminates so many truths. He illuminates the problem with false brahmanas who are wasting their time performing rituals, and they don't know that Krishna is the goal of all the rituals. So we'll speak more tomorrow about how Krishna uses this situation with the puffed up brahmanas to bless his real devotees.